From Community Public Radio, this is the CPR News. From New York, I'm Don DeBar.
Today, our weekly drop-in at the UN headquarters in New York begins with a press conference from the Secretary General's spokesperson, Stephane Dujarric, followed by Monica Grayley, the spokesperson for the President of the General Assembly.
Good afternoon. The Secretary General is in Paris on his way to Tokyo, where he will attend the TICAD summit that is being held in Yokohama in Japan. TICAD is the International Conference on African Development. And he is stopping on his way back from Biarritz, where he attended the G7 summit. A short while ago, he spoke to the press in Biarritz, stressing how we are facing a dramatic climate emergency. He pointed out how July was the hottest month on record and how the level of CO2 in the atmosphere is the highest during human life. The Secretary General emphasized that we need more ambition and a stronger commitment, pointing out how society, in particular the youth, are mobilizing ahead of the Climate Change Action Summit that is being held here in New York in September. The Secretary General added that the G7 summit had been an excellent opportunity for him to appeal to the international community's very strong engagement. Earlier today, he spoke at the G7 session on climate change, biodiversity, and the oceans. And yesterday, he took part on events on the fight against inequalities and the partnerships with Africa. He also met with the leaders of France, Chile, and India. And a short while ago, we expect him later tomorrow in TICAD in Yokohama. Turning to Syria, over the weekend, hostilities continue to impact civilians in the northwest part of the country, across Idlib, northern Hama, and western Aleppo governorates. 15 people, including 4 children, were reportedly killed, according to our humanitarian colleagues. In Idlib alone, displaced people have sought shelter in more than 100 schools. Camps for the displaced people are already overcrowded, with hundreds of thousands of people forced to stay out in open air, outside camps, and in reception centers. As a reminder, since the start of the hostilities in that area nearly 4 months ago, there have been nearly 575,000 individual displacement movements. Many people have been displaced up to 5 times, while some have been displaced up to 10 times already. As the new school year is scheduled to begin soon, access to education will be compromised for many children. The UN calls on all parties to the conflict to de-escalate the situation in the northwest part of Syria, to recommit to the ceasefire arrangement memorandum of understanding between Turkey and the Russian Federation that was signed in September of 2018. And in Salt Lake City, Utah, the 68th UN Civil Society Conference kicked off today under the theme Building Inclusive and Sustainable Cities and Communities. Up to 5,000 representatives of civil society from more than 100 countries will take part in the conference, with about 40% of the participants being under the age of 32, which for the UN is pretty young. The conference will feature 11 thematic sessions, close to 200 NGO-led workshops, with some 150 exhibits, as well as a youth hub. We'll be bringing you updates over the next couple of days. Back here, the Undersecretary General for Peace Operations, Jean-Pierre Lacroix, briefed the Security Council on the African Union-UN hybrid operation in Darfur. In his remarks, delivered by video conference, he highlighted the transitional arrangement signed by the Transitional Military Council and the Forces for Freedom and Change earlier this month. He also stressed that these transitional agreements entail a pledge to end all outstanding conflicts in Sudan, which could bring long-term stability to Darfur and other marginalized areas. Talks between the new government and various armed groups in Sudan are expected to take place, he added, including with the Sudan Revolutionary Front that includes some of the Darfur movements. His remarks have been made available to you. And I have a senior personnel appointment to announce. Today, the Secretary General is appointing Rosemary McLean of Canada as the Pension Benefits Administrator of the UN Joint Staff Pension Fund. This appointment follows the recommendations of the UN Joint Staff Pension Board. Ms. McLean brings to the position over 32 years of progressively responsible experience in pension administration and management. Currently, the Chief Operating Officer of the Ontario Teachers Pension Plan in Toronto, she manages a sizable budget and is responsible for ongoing for operational activities, including financial operations for pension administration and investment, information technology, project management, and process improvement. The Secretary General wishes to extend his appreciation to Janice Dunn-Lee of the U.S. for her commitment and dedication to service to the organization as Acting Executive Officer of the Pension Fund. And tomorrow, I will be joined by the Special Envoy for the 2019 Climate Summit, Luis Alfonso de Alba, who will brief you on the upcoming Climate Summit preparations. Nabil.
The Israeli drones were dropped or exploded in Beirut suburbs. And I want to know if you have any details or information about the incident and your position on that.
Sure. We don't have any, we're not in a position to independently verify or confirm the reports that we've seen. As far as the UN presence in the UNIFIL area of operation, it remains calm. UNIFIL remains engaged with the parties to prevent any incidents that could endanger the cessation of hostilities. We have obviously taken note of the statements made by President Aoun and Prime Minister Hariri, including on the ongoing investigation of these reported drone attacks, drones, the investigation being led by the Lebanese authorities. We have also received a letter from the government of Lebanon on the incident in Beirut and the one in the Bekaa Valley. This is a good time to reiterate our appeal to all concerned to cease violations of Resolution 1701 and to fully implement its provisions. The UN calls on the parties to exercise maximum restraint, both in action and in rhetoric. Yes.
Can I follow up? So you cannot, the UN cannot investigate or check the ground or the place where the incident took place, either in Beirut suburb or in Bekaa Valley? You don't do that usually?
First of all, that is outside of UNIFIL's area of operations, and the primary responsibility for those investigations lays with the Lebanese authority. You know, I would add that, you know, over the last few days, we have seen in the broader Middle East reports of drone attacks, missile attacks, and airstrikes all over the region, Israel and Gaza, Lebanon, Syria, Iraq, as well as Saudi Arabia, and that all since Friday. I think all of these reports are of concern to us. We're continuing to follow the situation closely. And I think as the Secretary General has said and consistently maintained, the Middle East region cannot afford any additional turmoil. Edie.
Thank you, Steph. I was going to ask you about all those broader drone strikes, but also the Israeli Prime Minister has ordered the military today to cut fuel transfers to Gaza in half in response to rocket attacks from Gaza. Does the Secretary General have any comment on that?
We've seen those reports. I was in touch with our colleagues in Jerusalem just a bit earlier. They're checking on them, and hopefully we'll have something a bit later. Sherwin.
Steph, our understanding is the SG went to the G7 summit to lobby world leaders ahead of his climate action summit in September later this year, next month. Is that correct?
That is correct. I mean, it was there to to push them for greater political action.
So as he was pushing in that roundtable, there was a seat vacant, the seat of the President of the United States. I see in the transcript just released by your office, he was also asked if he was able to convince the United States President of this climate change emergency that he keeps talking about. And he again then deferred to the fact that it's going to be up to civil society in American cities and American states. Is it fair then to say that the United States president is no longer an ally of this Secretary General's top agenda item, which is climate action on climate change?
The analysis part of this is your responsibility. I'm asking you a question.
I understand
you're asking me a question. I'm trying to answer it to the best of our ability. The Secretary General in the past has had good conversations with the President of the United States on climate. We look forward to the climate summit, to the participation of the United States authorities in the General Assembly debate as well. But again, our position, the Secretary General's position, has been made clear. His sentiments, I think, as you've read them and as he mentioned them in the press in Biarritz, as he will mention them again to you directly, as I have no doubt, on September 18th, are very clear. The compare and contrast part is really your job.
Is there a message you would have for this president at this time?
The message he has for the U.S. president, and the message he has for every world leader, and this is a message he's delivered to every world leader, is that the need for climate action is now, that this is the primary emergency that we are all facing. His message for everyone is exactly the same. Oui, monsieur.
Stéphane, can you tell us a little bit about this oil tanker close to Yemen? Apparently, there is a UN expert who have landed in Djibouti to inspect the ship this week.
Yes, my understanding is that we have gotten clearances to inspect and to look at that tanker. But I have no. As soon as we have an update to share, I will share with you. But my understanding is that we have gotten the right authorities. Yes, sir, and then Maria.
Thank you. I have two questions, actually. One, do you know how many Syrian refugees went back to Syria from Jordan?
No, that's a question you should ask UNHCR. I don't have those numbers here.
And the second question is, there are many media news outlet, American news outlet, reported today that the U.S. president suggests to nuke hurricanes before they hit the land. Have you seen the report, and what is the position of the UN on nuclear?
I've seen the press reports, and I'm not going to comment on them. Yes, Maria.
Yeah, thank you, Stefan. So the possibility of return of Russia to G8 format is now under discussion. Mm-hmm. The Secretary General has his own opinion whether G8 or G7 is better.
Secretary General is... In the 1 through 7 or 1 through 8, the Secretary General is not in there. It is that decision is up for the members of the G8, that decision is up for the members of the current G7 to make. Yes.
Thank you. I walked in late, Stefan, so I don't know if you've already said anything about this. The Secretary General met Prime Minister Modi at the G7 summit. Do you have a readout of that? And were any regional issues discussed, given that the Secretary General has been following what is happening in the region in Kashmir? So any details?
Yes, the Secretary General had a meeting with Prime Minister Modi. They had a long and fruitful discussion on climate change, on climate issues. The issue of Kashmir did come up. For the Secretary General's part, he reiterated the message that he has been saying publicly, and that's basically a need for all parties to avoid any sort of escalation.
Again, there was since India has also maintained that it's a bilateral issue. Anything on that regard? Did he ask?
No, I would refer you. I mean, as I said, the Secretary General's message. Is publicly and privately reflects what we said in the statement last week.
Thank you.
Yep.
Thank you, Stefan. I'm talking about G7, where they are taking actions on this crisis of the fire on the Amazons in Brazil. They are pledged on provide 20 million on help for this crisis in Brazil. So my question is, it seems like this is being getting politicized on some ways for this help, that nobody's giving something for nothing. So in this regards, my question is, for who is really this concern on this kind of crisis where this affects the whole world on the climate change, and according to
the Secretary General, his remarks that he made to the press earlier today referred to the Amazon forest, which spans a number of countries, as a global patrimony, as a global good. He welcomed the initial pledge of $20 million to help the countries of the Amazon fight the fires, but he said this was only a start and he would hope to see a greater mobilization of funds and efforts. Yes, sir.
Thank you. Swedish climate activist Greta Thunberg is supposed to arrive in New York either tomorrow or day after, on Wednesday. I just wonder if the Secretary General has some warm, welcoming words for her and if he will meet her tête-à-tête.
Yeah, definitely warm words of welcome. We hope the crossing is going well. The Secretary General will no doubt have a chance to see her at some point when she's in New York for the climate events. As you know, Secretary General has met Ms. Thunberg on two occasions in Poland and most recently in Vienna. And I think he's praised her for being a symbol of youth mobilization, which he has admitted has really been a driving force in mobilizing action on climate. As the Secretary General said, his generation, and I would have to include mine in there, has failed the younger generation on climate. So her voice as representative of youth everywhere is a very important voice indeed. Linda and then Edie,
Thank you, Steph. Regarding the Middle East, it was mentioned there's a lot of attacks going on. I was just wondering if the SG is in touch with any of the leaders from those countries involved, and if perhaps during UNGA he might be planning perhaps a group meeting or something to that effect.
I have nothing to share for plans during UNGA. The UN, the Secretariat, has been in touch with various parties at many different levels to pass on our message of concern. Edie and then Beto.
Back to the Amazon. Mm-hmm. The president of Brazil has accused the G7 of treating Brazil like a colony after the initial pledge of 20 million euros. Does the Secretary General plan to talk to President Bolsonaro and in light of his statement that the Amazon is global patrimony?
I have nothing to share with you as to right now's direct phone contacts. I have no doubt that the Secretary General will meet President Bolsonaro on the sidelines of the General Assembly. And the UN is there to help mobilize support to those countries that may need assistance in fighting the fires that we're currently seeing in the Amazon. Beto.
Thank you, Steph. Just a technical question. Can you remind us when the Secretary General is planning to hold this press conference ahead of the UN General Assembly in September?
The 18th of September. Did I say the 18th of August earlier?
You did better.
Okay, sorry.
18th to remind. Thank you.
18th of September, unless you have not missed it. Yeah, 18th of September in this very room. Yes, ma'am.
Does the SG have a message for Women's Equality Day today?
For?
Women's Equality Day is today.
Well, I think the Secretary General has been making gender parity and gender equality central to his mandate. You can see it in his senior appointments. You can see it in the people that are sitting around the table. We have just about reached, if not gone over, gender parity in the senior management group. We've reached gender parity in terms of the resident coordinators that the Secretary General appoints, and he has a gender parity strategy put in place to ensure that we have gender parity at all levels of the administration. Yes, sir.
Good afternoon, Stefan. West Africa, back to West Africa, Mali, the Sahel, what's going on? 5 million soldiers were killed last week and the week before, 24 soldiers from Burkina Faso. We have Operation Barkhane, 4,000 French troops, MINISMO. What's the Secretary General's reaction to this? The situation is still unstable and dangerous. Or anything?
Well, it is. I would have to agree with your description of the situation. The Secretary General has been very much focusing on ensuring that the so-called G5 Sahel force has the support that it needs, the financial support that it needs. He calls on countries to make sure that the financing for this force is regular and predictable, and that the international community do what it can to help support those countries that are on the front lines. Evelyn, and then we will let Monica speak.
Thank you, Steph. Is there any update on UNRWA? Any change in the top leadership?
No updates to share with you at this point.
Anything expected soon to save
I can only
UNRWA?
I can only speak for the present or at least the next 10 minutes, so nothing that I know of. Monica, all yours.
Thank you very much and good afternoon, everyone. I will start today with a statement to Arnold on the Amazon. But before, I have to say hello to Ilaria Marroni. She is joining us today at the last row, right, Ilaria? Yeah, buongiorno. She is with ATN, American Television News. Welcome to our ANCA family. The President of the General Assembly has welcomed expressions of global support for the Amazon rainforest after incidents of fires. Ms. Maria Fernanda Espinosa said that the logistical and financial support agreed by the G7 leaders, over 20 million, will help efforts to control the fires and to bring relief to the people, most of them indigenous communities living in the affected areas. The PGA also stresses that the forests must be protected from any harmful activities which jeopardize its crucial role to tackle climate change, to conserve biodiversity, and to ensure food security. As a specialist in environmental policies who worked in the Amazon for several years, Mrs. Espinosa believes that all countries which share the Amazonian territory could benefit from strengthening their cooperation even further. The PGA says that the work of the Amazon Cooperation Treaty Organization, ACTO, is a good example of partnership for sustainable development of the Amazon basin. She believes that ACTO can inspire initiatives to promote the protection of the Amazon and its crucial role as the world takes climate action. The Amazon is home to about 38 million people and occupies 40% of all South American territory. The forest also concentrates 20% of all existing fauna and flora. The Amazon basin has 20% of the world's freshwater. And now a trip announcement for you. The President of the General Assembly will tomorrow, 27th August, travel to Salt Lake City in the U.S. state of Utah to take part in the 68th Civil Society Conference. Ms. Maria Fernanda Espinosa will be a keynote speaker at the opening and the closing of the event, which will take place from 26th to 28th August. This year, the conference's theme is Building Inclusive and Sustainable Cities and Communities, focusing on SDG 11. The UN Civil Society Conference is focusing on climate change, peaceful societies, opportunities for youth, partnership with civil society, and its role to implement the Sustainable Development Goals on sustainable cities and communities. Ms. Espinosa, we will speak to the Youth Caucus on youth taking firm action on saving the planet. She later will visit the LDS Charities Humanitarian Center and will hold a bilateral meeting with the mayor of Salt Lake City, Her Excellency, Ms. Jackie Biskupski. Ms. Espinosa will also be received by state legislators in Utah, and before returning to New York, the PGA will hold a bilateral meeting with the Utah Valley University president, Ms. Astrid Tumines. She is also going to talk to international media outlets and national media outlets while there. The PGA's delegation includes an advisor, a communications specialist, and her personal assistant. Travel costs are being covered by the PGA's office trust fund. And Ms. Espinosa will be back in New York on 29 August. And last but not least, as you know already, I'm only reminding the ones who are not here on Friday, that on 16 September at 11 a.m. we will have our last press conference with the PGA here. So you are all welcome to attend it. And that's all from us. Do you have anything else? You do? Or you don't? Okay, so you do. Okay, go ahead. How are you, John?
Very well, Monica. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much. I just wanted to follow up on the PGA's visit to Austria this past weekend.
Sure.
Did she have any bilaterals vis-a-vis the ongoing crisis and situation in eastern Ukraine and any way to stop this fighting going on in Europe?
Well, the PGA as you know, she was received by the president of Austria, His Excellency Alexander von der Bellen, and von der Bellen. And they discussed several issues during their bilaterals. And, of course, her presence there was also to speak at the Altbach European Forum, where relevant political issues were discussed as well. But the participation of young people, having a bigger say in decision-making processes. The PGA also had the opportunity to be at the very day of the 40th anniversary of the International Vienna Center in Vienna, as you know, which houses several agencies based in Vienna. So it was a very important day as well for all of Vienna staff, and she also paid tribute and to the former IAEA Director General, Mr. Amano, when she signed the book of condolences or condolence book that was there. So she had a very full agenda, and conversations were conducted with the authorities there. Yes, thank you. I have Marisi. How are you? Go ahead.
Hi, Monica. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to ask, I know on Friday that the government of Bolivia actually sent a super tanker over to the Amazon to try to help with the fires. I wanted to know if the PGA had any statements on this or how this can further encourage other countries and governments to show such political will and action.
No, sure. No, the PGA is, she's following this issue. She was actually... If you remember, she spoke about that last week and on her Twitter account, but also here on our briefings. And she's following, as a matter of fact, she's right now speaking as a left the office with the permanent representative of Bolivia. She's following the news, and she's someone also who knows this area very well, who worked several years in the Amazon forest and knows the communities. So she knows what is going on and as the crisis develops, how it affects real people there. And not only, of course, the knowledge that we have through the news, but she has first-hand knowledge because she worked there. And she, as soon as the meeting finishes, I'm expecting a readout, but she's following and keeping an eye on the recent developments. Mm-hmm. Linda, and then I have Jordan. Go ahead, Linda.
Thank you, Monica. Mm-hmm. I just have a question about the SG has about 3 weeks left to her term. I'm sorry, PGA.
The PGA. Yeah, 16 September. She will be spending an hour with you on this very day.
Right. Mm-hmm. But between now and then, or about mm-hmm. 3 weeks, I was wondering if she's planning any additional trips or events or meetings with leaders.
Yeah, there will be, to be honest with you, her her agenda is full. She keeps working nonstop, and this is her intention as well, because, as we know, this presidency has 7 priorities for each day of the week, so we are working until the very last minute. And she will have one more trip that we will be announcing soon. Mm-hmm. Okay? And thank you very much. Have a wonderful afternoon. Thanks.
And that's all the news we have for you right now. For Community Public Radio, I'm Don DeBar in New York. Thanks for listening.